There's an old story about a little girl who visited a sculptor one day. He had just started working on a fresh block of marble. Some weeks later, she visited him again. Under his hands, a lion was taking shape from the stone. Astonished, she tilted her head to one side and asked, "Did you know all the time that there was a lion in there?" The premise of this program is that there's a better communicator inside every one of us. The question is how to find it. You are a unique individual, but there may be a variety of yous inside you. This tape will help you select the best of yourself to redesign your communication patterns and come out with a better you. The ability to present yourself and your ideas well is important. Without this ability, your skills and personality may go unnoticed. The Mellon Foundation did a study on those who are successful in life. They came to the conclusion that technical skills accounted for only 15% of one's ability to be successful. Interpersonal skills, the ability to communicate with others and get their cooperation, accounted for 85% of success. Imagine that. 85% of your success depends on your ability to communicate. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." Redesigning your communication patterns begins with a sharpening of your perception of others and yourself. Think for a moment of the public figures and personal acquaintances who have held your attention as they spoke. What qualities do you notice about them? How many of these things came to your mind? They have confidence and ease, which makes me feel at ease with them. They carry authority and conviction in their voice. They establish trust and credibility, verbally and nonverbally. They are warm, animated, and enthusiastic. They show empathy and concern. They look at me and pay attention to me when I'm talking. All of these qualities add up to charisma. Those who have it command our attention. They know how to project the best of themselves. They exert a profound influence on others. Our room lights up because they're in it. Let's begin with the quality of confidence. There are several definitions for confidence. A very apt definition is to intimately converse with. In other words, if you have confidence in someone, you intimately converse with them. Taking it a step further, let's apply our definition to self-confidence. It is intimately talking to yourself. It is that internal private monologue that goes on in your mind. Follow me now, because this is important. You are self-confident in everything that you do, every minute you are awake. Maybe you have heard a statement about someone and you said, "They have a lot of self-confidence." But the truth is that everyone has a lot of self-confidence. There isn't even a single word in the dictionary which defines lack of self-confidence. This simply means that you are self-confident of your ability to succeed, or you are self-confident about your ability to fail. Whichever one you are doing, you are intimately talking to yourself about it. And self-talk creates your self-confidence. If you are intimately talking to yourself about depression, then you are absolutely self-confident about being depressed. If you are intimately talking to yourself about illness, you are absolutely self-confident about being ill. Whatever we are self-confident about is what we will experience. We might say that self-confidence creates results. Henry Ford said, "If you think you can or think you can't, you're right." Be careful what you imagine yourself becoming. There is an abundance of scientific evidence that your mental picture of yourself, more than anything else, determines your achievements. The brain is like an automatic guidance system. It will steer your life toward the mental self-image you put into it. Your subconscious mind will work for you or against you. You decide by putting in self-fulfilling dreams or self-defeating limitations. In computer terms, they call it G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. Or perhaps a better way of saying it is good thoughts in, good results out. When this law is understood and applied, dynamic changes can take place. The good news is that unwanted, unworkable habits and behavior patterns can be altered. This can be achieved by creating positive self-confidence through a positive self-image. There are four outstanding qualities of a self-confident winner. The first is imagination. It requires imagining yourself the way you want to become and taking your mind off of the way that you are now. The second quality is commitment. It can be summarized by the statement, "I will until." How long does a baby commit himself to learn how to walk? Until he does. How long shall we commit ourselves to our goals? Until we reach them. There's a tremendous amount of energy that is available for you to use. Simply give up asking yourself, will I or won't I? Can I or can't I? Know that you can and that you will until. This is an unconditional, non-negotiable commitment. Nothing can stop the power of a totally committed person. So first you imagine, then you commit. The third step is to affirm that you will succeed. It helps to verbalize your positive thinking. This will raise your self-confidence and will cause others to believe in your eventual success. Now an amazing thing happens. As other people start believing in you, they'll want to help you. This adds even more to your self-confidence in succeeding. How often have you heard, nothing succeeds like success? Now you know why that is so. The fourth quality is to never give up. This is one of my favorites. Patience and persistence are the key to achieving. Make a decision that defeat and failure are not even worth your attention. Negative thoughts are picked up from a variety of sources. Perhaps you have an inferiority complex because you did poorly in school. Maybe you have decided that you're not very bright. Don't believe it. You may have had a poor teacher. Harvard psychologist Robert Rosenthal wondered if some children performed poorly in school because their teachers expected them to. If that's so, Rosenthal surmised, then raising the teacher's expectations should raise the children's performance. He put together a plan to try his theory in real classrooms. Kindergarten through fifth grade students at a cooperating school were given a new test of learning ability. The following September, after the tests were graded, the teachers were given the names of five or six children who are identified as spurters who possess exceptional learning ability. What the teachers didn't know was that the names had been chosen on a random basis, even before the tests were given. The difference between those chosen and the rest of the students existed only in the minds of the teachers. The same test was given at the end of the school year. It showed that the spurters had actually soared far ahead of the other children. They gained as many as 15 to 27 IQ points. The teachers described these children as being happier, more curious and affectionate, and having a better chance to be successful in later life. Obviously, the only change had been one of attitudes. Because the teachers expected more, the children came to expect more of themselves. Rosenthal said that the explanation probably lies in the subtle interaction between the teacher and pupils. The tone of voice, facial expressions, touch, and posture all communicate expectations. Even though the teachers may be unaware of it, such communication may help a child by changing his perceptions of himself. Remember, Ghost said, treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you help them to become what they are capable of being. This is also true of what you say and think about yourself. Whenever the attention is centered on a person, he is apt to become uneasy or self-conscious. The focus of attention tends to unnerve him. When you're conscious of the self, you tend to focus your self-confidence on your negative aspects. The mere fact that someone is looking on, perhaps critically, often causes you to lose your poise and become aware of your limitations. Fear creeps in. Fear is a process you set up to protect yourself. An example of this is a talented artist who avoids pursuing his talent for fear that he'll be a failure in the eyes of others. Fear causes you to say and do things that you'd rather not express. It makes you feel awkward and uncomfortable when you'd rather be relaxed and poised. Everyone wants to get rid of fear. Wouldn't you rather walk into any situation with your head held high, with a feeling of assurance? Now, we aren't talking about cockiness. Confidence is the feeling of assurance about life. It is an inward knowing that you can handle any circumstance. Cockiness or conceit is trying to convince others when you really have doubts about your abilities. It's being insecure and whistling in the dark. This is a greater insecurity than just feeling self-conscious. One of the fears that causes you to doubt yourself is the fear of failure. Each person wants to succeed. Think about an athlete. Maybe he wants to succeed so much that he develops a fear that something will happen to cause him to fail. This fear of failure can affect him in two ways. It may spur him on to greater achievement, or he may give in to the fear and become self-confident that he will fail. Then his ability begins to slip away. We have another fear. It is the fear of appearing ridiculous or foolish. This causes many people to doubt themselves. We all want to appear poised. We want to appear self-assured. But so many little things happen in our lives that make us look ridiculous. Developing a good sense of humor can help you get through the most embarrassing moments. Another fear is a fear of exposing the ego to hurts. The ego is the little outer self, the personality that we have developed over the years. The word personality comes from the Latin word persona. It means mask. Personality is a mask or facade that we present to the world, hoping that the world will think it's real. We don't want anyone looking behind the mask to see a quivering, insecure little person there. So we often live in fear that the ego will be hurt or exposed, and we will go to almost any extent to protect it. Another fear is the fear of being rejected. Think of a shy young man about to ask a girl for a date. We see him red in the face and stammering and thoroughly embarrassed. We laugh about it, but it's no joke to him. He has the fear of being rejected and pushed away. The fear of being rejected is very prevalent. Some people are afraid to make friends and take risks, and so they lead very lonely lives to protect themselves from rejection. Psychologists have found that this fear of being rejected is one of the key problems in marital relationships. Because of this fear, one partner may not give the whole self to the marriage. There's a holding back. A good marriage must be based on 100% giving from each marriage partner. It can't be the attitude of, I want your love and devotion as much as I can get, but I won't give you mine for fear I will get hurt. We hear a lot about 50-50 giving in marriage, but it's not enough. 50-50 giving is still a contest based on self-protection. The fear of loss of approval is in every phase of human existence. This fear explains why people tend to shrink away from expressing original thoughts and conform blindly to the average thinking of the majority. In our society, we have a fetish to be normal. A person trying to be normal will lose his confidence in his ability to think for himself and lose his true identity. How much more rewarding it is to be natural rather than normal. We've covered the things that may be holding you back. These are the reasons that you may feel self-conscious. What is the answer to developing self-confidence in achieving your goals? It is the awesome power to be yourself. Many critics think that to be yourself will lead to selfishness, but authenticity doesn't do this. It starts from the center of your life. But it is not self-centered. It sets a glowing example for others and sets them into action. This is a dynamic, natural power that's available to all of us. Authenticity makes your life count because it restores power to the individual. To be yourself is a natural, human, and universal power, and it brings tremendous blessings. A client recently said to me, in pure frustration, "If only I could find myself." I smiled and said, "George, if you found yourself, who would you be?" He thought for a moment and then said, "I'd be like John Smith. He has a good position in his company. He's well-respected in the community. He's a good golfer, and he has lots of friends. His wife and kids love him, and he gets a new car every year." "Hold it," I responded. "You wouldn't be finding yourself. You would be finding John Smith. And since you'd be the same, you would cancel each other out." There's a definite difference between finding yourself and knowing yourself. Observe other people and what you like about them, and then adapt those qualities as a part of your behavior. Shakespeare said, "Assume a virtue, and it's yours." However, do not try to mold yourself to be exactly like someone else. Celebrate your own uniqueness and talents. Today, there are many books written about assertiveness and manipulation. But in our society, the assertive manipulators often do not win. Many companies are headed by authentic people. They rise to the top because others are drawn to them, admire them, and imitate their example. Think about a businessman that you know who has risen to the top over others who seem to be more clever. Why has he succeeded? His associates may say that he is fairer to deal with or that he has a greater vision. But it is more than that. He has an inner strength. He radiates confidence in who he is and where he is going. He is instinctively honest, and he never weakens his moral authority with dishonest compromise. Authentic people know what they want and where they want to go. Often they will stand up to ridicule in order to do something they believe in. Albert Schweitzer, the great missionary doctor, had that experience at a very early age. When he was a boy, his friends proposed that they go up in the hills and kill birds. Albert was reluctant, but afraid of being laughed at, and he went along. They arrived at a tree in which a whole flock of birds were singing. The boys put stones in their slingshots. Albert could not stand the thought of killing any living thing. He shooed the birds away and left for home. From that day on, reverence for life was more important to him than the fear of being laughed at. His priorities were clear. Fatigue is a common symptom of people who have suppressed who they really are. They are not really tired, but tired of. It takes a lot of effort not to be ourselves. We are actors trying to impress other people, and that's very hard work. By contrast, the authentic person does not give energy to contradictions. His self-honesty reduces internal conflicts. He feels alive and exhilarated. His energy is turned on by doing what matters to him. He doesn't dissipate energy on conflicts or deceits. The authentic person mobilizes the energy of others. He inspires them. Just by being himself, he makes a statement about what one needs to do to succeed. Someone who respects and likes himself can respect and like others. When we're not sure who we are, we're uneasy. We try to find out what the other person would like us to say before we speak. We try to find out what they want us to do before we act. When we are insecure, our relationship to others is governed by what we need rather than what they need. On the other hand, authentic people are there not only for themselves, but for others too. No energies are wasted protecting a shaky ego. Growing in authenticity is becoming more of what we're truly meant to be. It's something we learn day by day. Perhaps you deny yourself the pleasure of your own good moments. The power of your own acknowledgement and appreciation can give you an experience of success. This is a foundation for expanding to more positive experiences. Here's a very simple thing you can do. Take time at the end of your day to appreciate the good moments in it. If you did something well, allow yourself to feel pleased about it. It might have been a small thing that would not have meant much to anyone else, but it was not easy for you. Perhaps you were nervous about meeting someone for the first time. Perhaps you made a difficult phone call. Perhaps you settled a misunderstanding. Whatever it was, close your eyes and spread the pleasure of that small achievement. You are nourishing yourself in the most practical way. You are feeding your positive expectations, and next time it will be easier. After a while, the good moments will become the major part of your day. Project self-confidence even when it's not there. The phrase to remember is act as if. Act as if you have already achieved your goal, and it's yours. The world supports people who know where they're going. Accept the idea that nothing is wrong in being different from others. The truth is, all of us are different, and we're meant to be different. Often under the guise of finding ourselves, we vainly attempt to imitate others. Emerson said that imitation is suicide. Instead of imitating, celebrate your own uniqueness. People who inspire you can do wonders in bolstering your self-confidence. Seek out the friendship and surround yourself with people who have a high positive self-regard, rather than associating with those who always put themselves down. Spend some time with yourself. Solitude is at the heart of self-knowledge. It is when we are alone that we learn to distinguish between the false and the true. Shakespeare wrote, "To thine own self be true. Thou canst not then be false to any man." To know yourself is the basis of powerful communication, and everything that is free from falsehood is strength. To know yourself is to know everyone. And so you're to be congratulated. You've taken that first important step in becoming more authentic. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and you are now on your way to expressing the awesome power to be yourself. This side of the tape is specifically designed to integrate, assimilate, and apply the information that was learned on the other side personally into your life. A word of caution is needed before we begin. This is the relaxation tape, so do not listen to this side of the tape while driving a car. First of all, find yourself a comfortable position. Choose some area up on the ceiling or on the wall opposite you that is comfortable to focus your attention on. As soon as you have got that spot, slowly begin to roll your eyes upward in your head until you find yourself kind of looking directly up through your forehead. Noticing that at first, this feels a bit tiring. Keep them there for a moment now and slowly begin to close your eyelids, letting them close very slowly, like a window shade, slowly going down. As your eyelids close, noticing that fluttering that indicates the relaxation that you have there in your eyelids, begin to create in your mind an image of yourself and someplace you'd like to be doing something you'd really like to be doing. Looking exactly as you would like to look, and feeling exactly as you would like to feel. If you like, you can go ahead and let yourself have on a bathing suit. Something that you can really see yourself. See your body just the way you'd like for it to be. If you like, you can model yourself after a cutout you have taken from a magazine or photograph that you have seen somewhere. Go ahead and begin to bring that image in really clearly. When you've got a clear image of yourself, just as you like to be, take a deep breath. As you let it out, give yourself the signal down inside. Now, relax. And, as you do that, you are beginning to condition that relaxation with the proper image that you'd like for your body. Begin to feel yourself flowing into that image, becoming the person in that image. And as I count from 10 down to 0, find yourself drifting more and more relaxed, letting each part of your body become more and more comfortable, feeling lighter and lighter. 10, bringing that image in more and more clearly all the time, so you can feel yourself there. Bring in the colors. 9, give the colors character. So if it's a blue, it's an aquamarine or a royal blue. Or if it's a red, let it be crimson or scarlet, seeing those colors. 8, just designing that scene to fit you and you alone. Or else you can have someone else there with you that you enjoy, bringing that in more and more clearly. 7, surrounding yourself with things that make you feel comfortable and doing something you'd really like to be doing. 6, you can be very active there if you like. In fact, you might see yourself playing some sport or doing some activity that requires you to really use your new body feeling just the way you'd like to. 5. All the time erasing any other thoughts in your mind, just focusing right on that image. 4. Letting those waves of relaxation flow throughout your body, clearing your mind more and more. 3. Drifting more and more comfortably now, surrounding yourself with more and more things that make you feel relaxed. 2. Now taking a deep breath and really collecting all that relaxation in your chest. As you let it out, letting the air begin to breathe for you. And 0, always becoming more and more comfortable, drifting deeper and deeper. Now begin to concentrate all your attention right there on your eyelids, noticing how relaxed they are. Letting them be just so relaxed that they won't open at all. Imagine that you have a piece of scotch tape across your eyelids. Imagine them stuck together. When you're certain that you've got that feeling, then you know that your imagination is stronger than anything else. Go ahead and test your eyelids and prove that to yourself. Notice as you do, just clear your mind of any unnecessary thoughts. Each time any unnecessary thought comes along, testing your eyelids will tend to just clear it right out of your mind. Now maintaining that same comfortable level of relaxation, just let my voice pass by. You don't need to pay much attention to it. Your subconscious mind will begin to understand each thing that I am saying. You are learning the awesome power to be yourself. Many critics think that to be yourself will lead to selfishness, but authenticity doesn't do this. It starts from the center of your life. But it is not self-centered. It sets a glowing example for others and sets them into action. This is a dynamic, natural power that's available to all of us. Authenticity makes your life count because it restores power to you. to be yourself is a natural, human, and universal power, and it brings tremendous blessings. The authentic person mobilizes the energy of others. You inspire them. Just by being yourself, you make a statement about what one needs to do to succeed. Someone who respects and likes himself can respect and like others. When we are not sure who we are uneasy. We try to find out what the other person would like us to say before we speak. We try to find out what they want us to do before we act. When we are insecure, our relationship to others is governed by what we need rather than what they need. On the other hand, authentic people are there not only for themselves, but for others too. No energies are wasted protecting a shaky ego. Growing in authenticity is a becoming more of what we're truly meant to be. It's something we learn day by day. Perhaps you deny yourself the pleasure of your own good moments. The power of your own acknowledgement and appreciation can give you an experience of success. This is the foundation for expanding to more positive experiences. Here's a very simple thing to do. Take time at the end of the day to appreciate the good moments in it. If you did something well, allow yourself to feel pleased about it. It might have been a small thing that would not have meant much to anyone else, but it wasn't easy for you. Perhaps you were nervous about meeting someone for the first time. Perhaps you made a difficult phone call. Perhaps you settled a misunderstanding. Whatever it was, allow yourself to spread the pleasure of that small achievement. You are nourishing yourself in the most practical way. You are feeding your positive expectations. And next time it will be easier. And the good moments will become the major part of your day. Recall now some success that you have had and allow yourself to feel the pleasure. Bring in as many senses as you can to feel the pleasure of that success. Now repeat to yourself the sentence that I am about to say. I am alive 100% of the time, and show it by acting with enthusiasm. I find it easy to be self-confident. I trust myself and always know the perfect thing to say and do. I find new and positive ways to play the game of life. I plan for tomorrow, but live for today. I no longer choose to carry the heavy burden of the past with me. I let go of old ideas and am open to new ways of doing things. I find pressure exciting and stimulating. I am even more creative when under pressure. I enjoy helping family members in their personal growth. I am well organized and always have a plan of action. I forgive everyone, and everyone forgives me. I enjoy taking calculated risks to improve my life. I am totally responsible for my life and no longer blame others. I love myself unconditionally, no matter how many mistakes I make. I am patient with myself and others. I face reality and resist nothing I cannot change. I am a good listener and enjoy listening instead of speaking. I fulfill my commitments to myself and others. I am no longer dependent on anyone's approval. I do not make myself right by making others wrong. I do not have to prove my worth by my accomplishments. I analyze the benefits of my mistakes, but never feel guilt or shame. I know the more I love myself, the more others will love me. I allow my body to heal itself perfectly. I no longer let others talk me into things. I have an excellent memory with clear recall. I allow money to come to me from unexpected sources. I find it easy to relax. I am equal to my partner, and he or she is equal to me. I will persist until I succeed. I will act now. Each and every one of these suggestions are for your benefit. You desire them, and it is so. You have set your mind to imagining a strong, healthy, attractive body. What you have imagined for yourself in detail, you will achieve. The goal you have set for yourself, that you have imagined and willed, will be achieved in an orderly manner. For you are totally and completely willing to put forth the effort to achieve this goal that you have established for yourself. All goals that you have imagined for yourself are for your highest good. They represent the incredible power of your unlimited potential and come to you in order to enhance your greater good. Your mind has already begun to create the images you desire. And because you are willing to continually concentrate upon the picture of an ideal you, your mind is even now working to create that picture in physical reality. You have already developed within you the qualities that are necessary for your success. And daily, you call upon these qualities in order to ensure your continued success in obtaining your goal. These suggestions are daily increasing in strength within you. They are all working in all areas of your mind to bring about your goal of the ideals you desire. There is a knowing within you that all your goals in life are guided by a super intelligence, and the creation of this ideal is one such goal. It charges you with purpose, and you have within you all the determination, all the willpower, all the wisdom to achieve your goal. The very act of setting this goal means that it is already accomplished in your mind. Once it is established in your mind as it is now, it will be established in your physical world quickly. And so it is, as you bring your awareness back to this room, you will experience a new energy and enthusiasm that you've never felt before. At the count of five, your eyes will open, your mind will clear, and then become alert. Your entire body will be well rested and very relaxed, and there will be magnificent feelings in your body and harmonious thoughts in your mind. The count is one. You're beginning to move and to stir, coming up now. Two. Three. The energy is into your body and moving. Four. Bringing your awareness back to this room. And five, wide awake, fully refreshed and relaxed, feeling better than you've ever felt before.